Savior Jesus Christ, who is coming very soon. And this is our blessed hope. Are you all looking for his second coming? Are you? If you are, then you will have a crown. The Lord said that he promised all those who love his coming, he will reward them. And in view of his soon coming, let us be encouraged to love him more and to serve him even more fervently. Now please turn your Bible to John chapter 3, passage which you have just read earlier. Encounter with Jesus Christ. And tonight the man who met Jesus Christ was Nicodemus. This inspired record of the encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus has some important spiritual lessons for all of us, both Christians and non-Christians. And I think that tonight's study will surely benefit us, for the Lord will bless this meditation of his word in our hearts. First, we read here that Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus Christ at night. Who was Nicodemus? It said here that he was a Pharisee. A Pharisee was one who knew the scriptures, the Old Testament. Of all the different sects in Jerusalem at that time, the Sadducees and the Essenes, the Pharisees were the one that was looked upon by the Jews, for they were the orthodox interpreters of the law of Moses. And as a Pharisee, Nicodemus, his thought was that he was already in the kingdom of God. He believed that he's already in the kingdom of God. And as a ruler here, it says that in verse 1, that he's a ruler of the Jews, meant that he was a member of the highest religious council of the Jews, the Sanhedrin, which handled the religious affairs of the Jews in Jerusalem. And they had the right to arrest any Jew and try them and punish them if they are found to have broken the Mosaic law. This is Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a ruler of the Jews. A very respected man, full of self-righteousness. But maybe Nicodemus is a person who is quite different from the other Pharisees that we know as we read the scriptures. Many of the Pharisees were antagonistic against Jesus Christ. They don't like Jesus Christ. But maybe Nicodemus was different. You see, he came to Jesus by night. Why by night? Why did Nicodemus come to Jesus by night? Various reasons have been suggested why he came by night. Some suggest that he came to spy on Jesus. But the tone of his visit doesn't support that idea. Some suggest that he came to in order to ask Jesus how he might be saved. But being a Pharisee, he would feel no such need, for he already believed or thought that he was in the kingdom of God. Some more charitable suggest that he came by night in order to have an uninterrupted interview with Jesus. The rabbi considered the best time to study the law was at night, without any interruption. But most view that he came at night in order to avoid publicity. He did not want to endure the criticism of his colleagues, and probably to protect his standing as a ruler of the Jews. It would be a shame for him to consult Jesus on spiritual matters when he should be the one to talk about it, to teach about spiritual matters and interpret spiritual matters as a Pharisee, because he knows best. So why did he come to Jesus by night? Because he was afraid. Afraid of his colleagues. They might criticize him and even chided him. And so he came by night. So considering the antagonistic attitude of the other Pharisees towards Jesus, they even wanted to kill the Lord Jesus Christ for his teachings. I think this last view would be more correct. In other words, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because he was afraid. Afraid of the Jews, and especially afraid of those other Pharisees, his fellow colleagues. But then the most important thing about Nicodemus is that whether he came by night or not, he came. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ. That was important. And I believe that he came in sincerity. Now, what was Nicodemus' understanding of Jesus? Let us read. What did he say to Jesus Christ in verse 2? The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we knew that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. First, we observe that he called Jesus a rabbi, meaning that means my master, my teacher. Well, it is a title of dignitary which the Jews gave to their teachers of law. In other words, Nicodemus recognized that Jesus knew about the law. While he rightly recognized Jesus as coming from God and that the miracles which Jesus performed were by the power of God, he stopped short of confessing that Jesus is God. He stopped short. Nicodemus' view of Jesus Christ is deficient, inadequate. So he came to Jesus because, I believe, he felt a spiritual need within himself. Although he thought that he was already in the kingdom of God, I believe he did not have a firm assurance of this belief. He recognized that Jesus is a great teacher who came from God and performed many miracles by the power of God. Maybe I come to him and ask him about spiritual matters, and especially with regard to the assurance of his salvation, or the assurance that he is a participant of the kingdom of God. Now, like Nicodemus, you may have heard about Jesus Christ. Those of you who are here, you have not come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you may have heard about Jesus Christ. You also may have formed your conclusion about him, that he is only a great religious teacher who came into this world to teach mankind to be good. Mr. Devanayar, our former president, believed that Jesus Christ is only a great teacher. Maybe you are such a one. You may even agree with Nicodemus that Jesus came from God. But if you are not yet a believer in Jesus Christ, I thank God that you are here. And it is not by chance that you are here. It is by God's appointment. And I hope and pray that tonight as we study this passage, this encounter between Nicodemus and Jesus Christ, God will bless this study and his word into your hearts, and may the Holy Spirit bring about a spiritual rebirth in you. And I also believe that as Christians, there are things to be learned from this passage. Now let us look at what is the Lord's reply to Nicodemus. Nicodemus said to Jesus Christ, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Very courteous words to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, verse 3, the Lord answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Nicodemus, Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I think this is a shock statement to Nicodemus. Suddenly he said that, except a man be born again. And the word again there, Nicodemus knew exactly what the Lord Jesus mean. Again there means a radical change from the beginning, a new birth. And then the word there, see, that he cannot see the kingdom of God and he cannot participate and enjoy the kingdom of God. So I believe here, it seems that the Lord Jesus Christ's answer was quite inconsistent with what Nicodemus said to him. Nicodemus was very courteous to him. But then earlier we know that the Lord Jesus Christ can look into the hearts of men. Jesus Christ, who is God, knows the hearts of men. And when Nicodemus stood there before him, he could see the heart of Nicodemus. He could see his heart crying. He see the spiritual need of this great teacher of the Lord. And he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What was Nicodemus' answer? Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus was completely confused. He did not understand exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. His reply was a reference to a second natural physical birth. Then Jesus Christ replied in verse 5. Jesus Christ replied to him and said, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, let me just comment a bit here. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, you have the word, if you have the King James Version there, you have the word of written in italics. So meaning that that word should not be there. So in other words, it should be read this way. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus replied Nicodemus with more details concerning his first statement. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse 5, the Lord Jesus Christ said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So in other words, the rebirth, that spiritual rebirth has got to do with being born of water and the Spirit. What did Jesus mean by of water and the Spirit? Some interpret of water to mean water baptism, which leads to the belief in baptismal regeneration. Have you met some of these people? You say that, are you a believer in Christ? And then you say, I have belief in Jesus Christ. And then the next question is, have you been baptized? And then you say, no, not yet. I'm still attending catechism class. Then you are not saved. Until you are baptized in water, then you are saved. There are Christians in Singapore who believe in baptismal regeneration, water baptismal regeneration. And you ask him, what verse you have? And then he will turn to you, John chapter 3, and then verse 5, and then he will tell you, except a man be born of water. Yeah, you see, born of water and not the Spirit, he cannot enter. So you must first be born of water, and then after that, born of the Spirit. There must be these two separate individual action. There is the work of the Spirit, and then also there is the water baptism, and then you can enter into the kingdom of God. Otherwise, you cannot say that you have salvation, and otherwise, you cannot say that you are you can be admitted into the kingdom of God. Otherwise, you cannot have the assurance that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, you'll be taken up to be with him. Otherwise, you cannot say that when you die without water baptism, you cannot go up to heaven. This doctrine, the doctrine of water baptismal regeneration, must be rejected because it has no scriptural support. The abundant teaching of New Testament is to the contrary. Jesus himself did not use of water in verse 3. Look at verse 3. ye, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then look at verse 7. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. And so the phrase of water is not mentioned at all. And if the water baptism is very important, absolutely required in order to be saved, essential, necessary, then the Lord Jesus Christ would not have omitted it. Correct? That's rational, logical, natural for him to do that, if that is important. So in other words, water baptism, regeneration, cannot be believed or accepted, must be rejected. Paul said to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Acts chapter 16 you have. And if water baptism is necessary, absolutely necessary to be saved, then Paul would have also said, unless you believe and baptize by water, then you can be saved. Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, he said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If water baptism is necessary for the second birth, Paul would not have left out. Because Paul wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who is God, and God makes no mistakes at all. God is thorough. And if God has imposed that water baptism is necessary for salvation, for rebirth, for regeneration, then every reference in the Bible, in the New Testament with regard to salvation, the necessity of water baptism will be clearly stated. There is no mention of water baptism as an absolute requirement for regeneration. In fact, during the time when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to Nicodemus, water baptism, the sacrament of water baptism, has not been instituted yet. So Nicodemus couldn't have understood it as water baptism, Christian water baptism. Then what does it mean? So the Lord Jesus Christ says here in verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, or of Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You see that it is governed by one preposition, of water and the Spirit. And the great theologian John Calvin noted that the phrase is governed by one preposition, hence referring to one act, the cleansing work of the Spirit. The cleansing work of the Spirit. Then water, you see, water symbolizes the cleansing work of the Word of God. Where do we get this idea? Take a look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Now, if you have your Bible and your pencil, maybe you can write across verse 5 there, Ephesians 5, 26. Ephesians 5, 26. The epistle Paul wrote to Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 26, and we have it here. That he, that Christ, might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And so the word of God has that effect to wash. This thought recurs again in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In other words, in the spiritual rebirth, there is the work of the word of God, the necessity of the word of God, and the work of the Holy Spirit. The word of God and the Holy Spirit to effect the rebirth. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. It is clearly explained there for us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. There must first be a hearing of the gospel, of the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. And then in whom also after that ye believe, after you hear, after you have heard the gospel, you believe. And then you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That effects the rebirth. Every one of us who have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ have heard the truth, the gospel of salvation. And when we have heard it, we believe in our heart, and then the Holy Spirit comes and seals it, indwells us, and seals us. And the spiritual rebirth takes place. So we have here clearly stated here in verse 5, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That is precisely what he meant. He does not mean that there is a second natural physical birth. No, which Nicodemus thought that it was. Nicodemus was mistaken. He did not mean, Jesus Christ did not mean there must be water baptism separate from the work of the Holy Spirit. No. Scriptures doesn't support that. And the scripture verses that we have turned to explains this passage. That the water here symbolically represents the word of God. And that water has that essential function of washing us, convicting us of our need of salvation. So, Nicodemus, as the Lord went on, and in verse 6 and 7, he says that, marvel not, verse 7, that I say you must be born again. And then the Lord gave an illustration, because he could see that Nicodemus is still puzzled by that. He gave an illustration, and that illustration is in verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You see, the Jesus Christ here emphasized the spiritual rebirth, and he gives the wind here is invisible but powerful. We cannot see the wind, but we can hear it. We can feel its effect. When you feel the breeze, can you see the wind? You can't see. You do not know where it comes from, and you do not know where it's going, its final destination. But you can feel its effect. It's provided, of course, if you place yourself, you set yourself properly in its path. Then you can feel the effect of the wind. You can benefit it. So in order to benefit from the wind, you need not have to analyze where the wind comes from, what it is like, where it is going before you can enjoy the effect of the wind, isn't it? You just feel it and you just place yourself in the path of the wind, and then you can enjoy the cool breeze on a hot day. Right? You don't have to analyze it in order to benefit from it. If you like sailing, you have a boat and you have a sail. what you need to do if there is a breeze and there's a wind, you just place your sail in the path of the wind and everything is fine. You are going fine. But if you don't, you cannot benefit, right? You don't have to analyze, you know, what is wind, what is the composition, what is the speed. You don't have to do that. You just place yourself properly in its path and you enjoy it. And that's what the Lord said here. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. You can hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And so is, and in the same manner, by yielding ourselves to the Spirit, we receive his beneficial power. You don't have to try to explain the process by which God wrought that rebirth in us. How? When the Spirit comes in, do I feel anything? And who is the Spirit? I cannot see the Spirit. What is he like? So you don't have to understand everything in order to enjoy that effect. No. Jesus Christ says no. Just like the wind, you just set yourself in its path, you can feel its effect. So we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. If tonight the Holy Spirit is convicting you, some of you are not a believer yet, but you have come to Sunset Gospel Hour maybe for many months. You've attended Sunset Gospel for many months and you have heard so many messages because you want to come to learn, to know more and more. I'm still in doubt. I want to learn more so I can, until I understand everything, and then I will believe. But if the Holy Spirit is talking to you now and you know, convicting you, you know, just place yourself in his path and yield to him. And then, here the Lord Jesus Christ says the rebirth will take place, and then you can enjoy, you will know the fruits of that regeneration. Like many of us here who have believed, at one time when the Holy Spirit convicted us, we yield to him, and now we are believers. Have you not experienced the effect of that rebirth? Yes, you have. But did you analyze everything? Did you go and find out what, understand about the Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You analyze everything? Analyze even the Bible before you want to believe? No, we don't. We hear. And we yield to the convicting work of the Holy Spirit and God himself. Do the rest. Wow. Verse 9. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? Poor Nicodemus. Great man, great thinker. And just the Lord Jesus Christ gave this example. He cannot understand. How can these things be? And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ was very patient with Nicodemus. Very patient. You see, the problem with Nicodemus was that he was looking for knowledge. You know, he wants to know more. He wants to understand everything. When what he should have done was to just exercise faith. So the Lord Jesus Christ knew, this man wants to know more. You see, his mind is full of knowledge, he wants to know more. So he knows about the Mosaic law already. Now he wants to know more. He comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, probably going to ask him about the power, how he can get power. How he says the Lord Jesus Christ has power from God to perform all those miracles. Probably, maybe he wanted that too. But the Lord Jesus Christ sees into his heart and what is his greatest need. And so now the Lord Jesus Christ sees him that way. And so the Lord Jesus Christ drew an analogy. Another illustration, an analogy. You see, here the Lord Jesus was trying now to draw Nicodemus to the point in which he will exercise his faith. There's no need, Nicodemus. What you are looking for? You want more knowledge. If you really want to understand everything, what God, how God performed everything and how God did everything and do everything, it is impossible. It is impossible. You can't fathom, you know, the mind of God and his ways. God already said, my ways are higher than your ways, are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And then it's impossible for us, therefore, to fully understand the thoughts of God and the ways of God. We can't. And so Jesus Christ gave another analogy. And so that analogy is in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And when Jesus mentioned about as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Nicodemus knew. He is very familiar with this incident in Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 to 9. And let me relate to you what was that incident. The Israelites were wandering in the wilderness. They were on their way from Egypt, and they're going into Canaan, into the promised land. So along in the desert, the Israelites murmured and complained against God and Moses. And they said, Moses, they charged Moses for leading them into the wilderness without water and only with this light food manna, and to die in the wilderness. You should have left us in Egypt where there are so many good things. Why did you take us out of Egypt into this wilderness and just only give this bread, this light bread, and there's no water to die here? So they were complaining. And according to the word of God, they were complaining not to Moses, but they were complaining also against God. And God saw, and God was angry, and God sent fiery serpents in their midst, and those who were bitten by the serpents died. So Moses saw, and Moses prayed to God to be merciful to the Israelites and spare them. And God told Moses to make a brazen serpent and lift it up. And if anyone who was bitten by the serpent, if they were to look, only look, even at a distance, were to raise their eyes and look at the brazen serpent, they would be healed and not die. And so Moses went and told them. He made that brazen serpent. He lifted it up and he told the people, you are bitten by the snake, you looked. Did you think that the people who were bitten by the snake, tell Moses, wait, what is the brazen serpent made of? What metal? You know, did they ask him all the details? What's the dimension and all this type of thing? How do you make it? And suppose we look, how are we healed? How? You mean there's something, some action or some rays or supernatural power coming to us and heal me? No, Moses said, no, Moses, you just look. Just look, okay? If you are bitten, you just look, you will be healed. And I believe that those people were bitten by those snakes, straight away look, as Moses said. By faith, believe what Moses said, looked, and they were healed. So the Lord Jesus Christ said this to him. My, Nicodemus, look. Right? That's it. By faith. There it says there, verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I think there's now light that comes into the mind of Nicodemus. Jesus Christ was very patient with him and gave these two illustrations, and Nicodemus now, I believe, understood. Because it was recorded for us, John recorded two more incidents concerning Nicodemus. If I ask you the question, is Nicodemus saved? Was he born again? Was Nicodemus born again? All right, let us look at two passages and then we can make this conclusion. John chapter 7 verse 50. Let's turn to John chapter 7 verse 50. John chapter 7, verse 50 and verse 51. Here Nicodemus saith unto him, to them, he that came to Jesus by night. You see, so this is the same Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? And then they, that means his fellow Pharisees, answered and said unto Nicodemus, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Now you have what here? The Pharisees wanted to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ for all his teachings. And then here, Nicodemus defended Jesus Christ. How can we judge him without, you know, first hearing him? And then he was scolded by them, chided by them. You see here, Nicodemus defended the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, one more passage. And John chapter 19, the Apostle John, I think, keep track with Nicodemus. John chapter 19, verse 39. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. The same Nicodemus in chapter 7, the same Nicodemus in chapter 3, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they, who were they? Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. And look at verse 38, we have, and after Joseph of Arimathea being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. And so I believe here, as John recorded for us, Nicodemus also was a secret believer like Joseph Arimathea. You turn back to John chapter 3 again, and then there's a very interesting phrase there. In verse 2, the same came to Jesus, that's Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art Rabbi. We know. Who are the we? He didn't say, I know. We know. And I believe here that Joseph of Arimathea was Nicodemus' what? Close friends. Both of them were together. And maybe there are others, one or two, who are very close and they have observed the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they all were talking and then they must have pushed Nicodemus, you go and ask the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Nicodemus went by night and asked, and then Nicodemus got all the answer and Jesus Christ dealt with him and he knew that this man was seeking, and I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ knew that Joseph of Arimathea also were together with them. With him, rather. And then the Lord Jesus Christ evangelized him. Just it. Nicodemus, it's not more knowledge that you need. It is believing. Exercise faith. I ask you, is there anyone here who is not a Christian? You're not a believer yet, but you are seeking. You see, thank God you came. I know of at least a person here, a friend of mine who has been coming to Sunset Gospel Hour faithfully. And quite a number of times when I met him in the past, he say, when are you going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? He say, wait, wait. I say, anytime, no, you need more explanation. I would say, call me, wait. And why wait? Because he wants to know more before he takes that step, that so important step to him. The answer from the Lord Jesus Christ is, you don't need more length, more knowledge. You don't need more knowledge. What you need is what? Faith. Jesus Christ died on the cross, was raised up, died on the cross, shed his precious blood for your sins and my sins. And God raised him from the dead. What you need to do is just to look at him and believe that he died for you, as the Bible says. Not to find out more. Why did God send the Lord Jesus Christ? Why didn't God save everybody? Why must send the Lord Jesus Christ to die? You know, all these kind of questions. And then the next question maybe, are there pets in heaven? You know, you ask one after another to know everything, how God saved people before you want to believe. No. You don't need all that kind of knowledge. Not more knowledge, but faith. So if you are here, may I plead with you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you believe and then the Holy Spirit is in you and you read the Bible, you can understand more. Because these are the deep things of God, and the Spirit of God then can open your eyes and you can behold wondrous things from the word of God. And what is this for Christians? You say, oh, I already have belief. We have here a lesson on evangelism, personal evangelism. And so if you meet such a person like Nicodemus, be patient with him. Be patient with him. And he will ask you one question after another, 101 questions or 1,001 questions. You tell him you don't need knowledge. You just need faith and belief. May God bless this meditation of his word to us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Father, for loving us, for being merciful to us, for being kind to us, for being patient with us, for being gracious with us. And we thank you, Father, for all of us, for all of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ only by thy grace. And thank you for the faith. And we pray, Father, for anyone here in our midst who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, that you will speak to such a one, that he or she may come to believe, Lord, in thee and receive salvation according to your promise. Hear this, our prayer, with thanksgiving, in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.